Hello, you're listening to On the Wind. I'm your host, Dave Tomasik, offering insights about people, places, and things that experience new beginnings. New listener or seasoned patron, I thank you for listening to On the Wind for March 2015, Season 5, Episode 47. On the Wind is hosted on Podbean at onthewind.podbean.com. Subscriptions are available through iTunes and all major RSS feed services. Links to the show notes and Facebook page are through the Podbean host site. Comments and suggestions are always welcome. Weather, travel plans, and unexpected occurrences have all conspired against my planned guest appearances for this month. Such is life on the wind. Speaking of the weather, have I ever told you I hate winter? This winter is no less detestable than any other, but I have to say the brutal cold this winter is occurring later in the season than I feel is typical. A record low was recorded this morning. But the cold, even the sub-zero occurrences of the past few weeks, is no stranger to Western Pennsylvania. Cold is what winter is here, although I do believe the climate is changing. Well, let me be clearer. I believe it has always been changing, but never in response to anything that people do. There were no human factors like factories, power plants, cars, or human-associated energy-munching means of changing any atmospheric component in any of the multiple glaciation periods that had occurred at 40 and 100,000-year intervals since the last glacial epoch. By the way, if history of the past cycles is any indication, a very cold century is due. Nor could there have been any human intervention in the five glacial epochs that have been dated in the millions to billions of years ago. I would say the effects of plate tectonics and the slow but inexorable movement of the moon away from the Earth are far more causal factors in Earth's climate change. Then there is the yet to be fathomed and ever so slight variances in the energy output of the sun, whose radiance provides impetus for most of Earth's atmospheric antics. Just last June, a glacier in Switzerland that climate alarmists are all aghast about its rapid recession failed to make a fuss about the ancient forest it is revealing. My collegiate and graduate botany classes never examined a single species of tree that grows beneath hundreds of feet of mountain-crushing ice. How did these trees come to be under a glacier? I wonder, could the law of superposition apply here, or should it be dismissed, as the climate alarmists would have you believe is the proper course of action? Yeah, dismissing physical law is correct course of action. Not. Most likely, the view out your window, as mine, and the heating bills are constant reminders that winter is hanging on. I do nonetheless venture into the elements. Keeping the days productive requires me to at least go to my garage, my intermittently, stingily heat-infused man cave, to make progress on the Avanti rebuild. January and February raised my work total by about 200 hours. Not a feverish pace, more methodical and thorough than anything. So, progress is being made. March may well see the Avanti as a rolling chassis. Did I mention I hate winter? Not one to sit about pondering the future means there are far more than 100 hours of playing with cars in a month to be productive with. As webmaster for the Mon Valley region of the AACA webpage, there needs to be articles and features written and posted. A well-done article takes a good day to research and maybe a whole other to write and publish. You can check out the Mon Valley region of the Antique Automobile Club of America at monvalley.aaca.com. This podcast takes up another 3 work days, plus the mental planning that seems to happen very spontaneously. And finally, my on-site consulting work, although severely limited by the cold, still requires me to keep a finger on the pulse of work and planning. With the time left, I round out my weeks with a project I started about 6 months ago with an Arduino starter kit. I've had to settle into learning the basic skills of C++ computer language to facilitate implementing miniature computing hardware projects. For those of you unfamiliar with Arduino, Raspberry Pi, and the like, they are tiny, inexpensive, complete computers used for learning computer skills, computer control technologies, and innovation for personal or commercial use. I enjoy the technology and have some potential applications I'd like to implement. Buying off-the-shelf solutions, whereas quick, removes the personal innovation, and sometimes reinventing the wheel just makes a better wheel. Often, solutions are not even available to buy. You never know when an interest or a hobby can be of actual, practical use, or when it may come to a screeching halt. As an aside, the takeover of the internet by the feds late last month will change the internet as we have known it. Like everything the federal government touches, the internet too will become a politically leveraged and never again ever be what we have come to enjoy. Net neutrality will likely force me into spending much more time on less virtual endeavors. On a less practical side of things, the Formula One racing season gets started mid-month. Longtime listeners will know F1 is my spectator sport of choice. A lot of off-season innovations have taken place in the cars, and the teams now have a full season of information to better understand the new cars that the 2014 rules forced onto the circuit. Honda is back with a power unit, first time in decades, and the pressure is on for all teams to pick up lap times, even with greater aerodynamic restrictions for this year. The understanding gained last year about the new car formula will reflect in 2 to 3 seconds off a typical 2014 lap time. This is huge considering engineering typically costs millions to intentionally shave just a tenth of a second from a lap. This year's first F1 event begins in Melbourne on March 13th with practice laps, qualifying on the 14th, and the Grand Prix on the 15th. Since Melbourne is 11 hours ahead of Pittsburgh, the 4 p.m. race begins at a bleary-eyed 5 a.m. local. It and all the races are scheduled to be broadcast live on the NBC Sports Network. March 27th through the 29th, we'll see the second event in Kuala Lumpur. The drivers have changed quite a bit since last year, with many having moved to different teams, leaving, or just joining the circuit for the first time. Whether you follow a driver or a team, almost everything will be different from previous years. It will be an exciting season, I'm sure. The commentary for the races should be markedly better than last. With a year of working together, the familiar faces of David Hobbs, Steve Matchett, Will Buxton, and finally, the up-to-speed Lee Diffie will provide commentary that promises to be up to par. It's safe to say that the winter months have offered slow developments for this on-the-wind traveler. Life does tend to be punctuated. Rushing full ahead at unthinkable speeds, offering barely comprehensible changes, only to virtually come to a standstill where eventually you begin to hope the winds pick up, so to speak. It's all part of life, We are all like a leaf on the wind. That's it for this episode. Please leave your impressions at make a comment link at onthewind.podbean.com. Thank you for listening. Until next month, keep flying. And remember, your next move is already on the wind. Is it spring yet?